broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. Since the good sheriff, Richard Mack, only has a little bit of time today, we're going to jump straight to him, the recap after. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
Thank you very much, sir. There's so much to discuss, so little time to get it done.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
There's something I didn't get to do yesterday that I have to do today, and I want to do it first thing.
Let's do it, sir.
Real short. I want to be on the record as saying something to all the Democrats who are fabricating this agenda, narrative, accusation that President Trump wanted his supporters to go into raid the United States Capitol. Anybody who thinks Trump wanted that is exercising what I call in the sheriff business complete and utter lunacy. He did not want that. He did not try to do that. And once again, the Democrats fabricate a situation where they pretty much know the truth, but they don't care, and they want to make sure that they smear this guy's legacy and make everything. The way it looks like, they want to do anything and everything to make sure he can never run for office again. They must be really afraid of him, and he must be really a good president and a good leader, or the Democrats wouldn't be going to all of these lengths to go after him. Just so everyone knows, there is no way that President Trump wanted any of that.
And let me add to this, Sheriff. Not only is there no way he wanted that and no way he did that, in fact, in other words, in true fact, he didn't even call for any violence, and they know it. Not only do they know that he didn't call for it factually, and not only do they know he didn't want to do it, they're aware of that fact that that's not really the agenda. They know full well they're in open, dishonest mode about this.
Right. Yeah, that is true. And it's just ridiculous for anybody. But how long have the Democrats been ridiculous? Well, it's been before President Trump was in. But it's absolutely crazy, astronomically, to the stratosphere now with these people going crazy against President Trump. And this is just another sign of it.
Amen.
And I hope somebody, I don't know who it'll be. I doubt if it'll be the FBI. I don't trust the FBI. I told the German newspaper that when he was quoting the FBI, I think it's irresponsible and counterproductive for the FBI to come out and say there's going to be protests and perhaps riots in all 50 states. That's crazy.
Well,
I can guarantee you that's not going to happen.
Well, not only is it not going to happen, but they know that it's not going to happen. This is kind of my point, is they know all these things. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. They said that, hey, it was the Trump supporters that caused all this. They said that the second it unfolded. I'd almost like to have a timeline to say, when did the Capitol riot start? How many people were still at the peaceful rally while the riots were starting? That's the first question.
Right.
But a second question is, who was the first to come out and say Trump supporters caused a riot? Trump supporters breached the Capitol. Trump supporters are violent. How quick did that narrative come out? And now we're finding that, yeah, there were Trump supporters there. We agree. And there were some of them that were ne'er-do-wells that we all reject. Just like in any single movement you have, there's going to be bad apples. But you know what? Now we're finding out more and more and more bad guys were there with intention. Let me give you an example. Left-wing agitator John Earl Sullivan was there.
Right.
He's from Utah. And he was charged for his role with the Capitol breach. But you know what about this guy?
Right.
That's interesting to note. He was caught on camera celebrating with an extreme journalist. And they were all saying, we did it. We got it done. On video, Sheriff.
I haven't seen that.
All right, I sent it to you in your email, so check it out, buddy.
I'm not questioning it, but I'd still like to see it.
I'm just saying it's in your email.
Okay, good.
So you can check that out. But this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Where do I think Trump supporters were involved? Well, you know what? Maybe. I don't know, as President Trump said, and I would agree, I'm not so sure you're a real Trump supporter if you do resort to violence, even for your own agenda.
Right.
In other words, if you want to, for example, create a citizen's arrest on or kidnap or harm anybody, much less a political elected official, none of us agree with that. Trump doesn't. I don't. You don't. Nobody does that has any common sense. Okay. And they know that. And what they're trying to do is take the extreme among us and make that seem, you know, as if that's the...
And one other little thing. Well, it's not a little thing, but it's a quick thing. How is it that they're really assiduously investigating the whoever killed the first cop that got hit with the fire extinguisher? They really are going after that, and they're trying to get help to clarify who actually did that.
Yeah, but they first lied. This is the point with the narrative that I'm getting at.
They
lied and claimed that it was a guy that wasn't even there.
Oh, yeah.
So that needs to be pointed out, though. Why do they do that?
Why aren't they investigating the officer who illegally shot the woman? What's her name? Anyway, I can't remember her name. Lady from San Diego, the 13-year Air Force veteran. Why aren't they really going after that? How come we've heard nothing about that investigation or the officer that shot her? We're not hearing a word about that. Nothing. You know, and that was not a justified shooting. If it was a justified shooting, then they should have shot about 250 people.
Well, that's right. And so the problem is their narrative, though. We're starting to have, believe it or not, the New York Times and other political extreme rags that have an agenda print retractions because they were so wrong on the facts, saying only Trump supporters did this. How quick did that narrative come to the table?
Oh,
how
I know,
quick
of course.
Could they say, well, it wasn't foreign terrorists and it wasn't Antifa and it wasn't anybody but whacked out domestic terrorists. Trump supporters were positive, and now they're having to back away from all that. But it gets worse. All right. Not only was this left-wing agitator John Sullivan there, but check this out. It turns out they say that a French computer programmer reportedly transferred more than $500,000 in Bitcoin to far-right groups and individuals involved in the riots at the Capitol building. Now then, the guy dies by suicide. Researchers found, according to the Associated Press, okay, they say chain analysis, in other words, BitChain or a blockchain analysis for the Bitcoin, is who discovered this. Now, he sent it to 22 different addresses. And I look at that and I go, wait a minute here. So now you got a French computer programmer who had Bitcoin. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Who sent a bunch of money to supposedly extreme Trump supporters. I don't know where they come from or who they are, but they're not real run-of-the-mill Trump supporters at all. That's a lie. So an extreme group, 22 addresses, got Bitcoin from some guy that's now committed suicide. So now you can't, you know, quiz him down. You can't investigate that. And with Bitcoin, you can't investigate really where the money came from.
Right.
Now you could say, well, come on, Bitcoin, you know, you can trace the origins of where it was generated. Fine. But it doesn't mean that somebody with a lot of money couldn't fund a bit mining company, a data mining company that could create the Bitcoin with sheer power. If you have enough money, you could put enough computer power to make Bitcoin. So what I'm getting at is they've created dead-end trails to discover who really even funded this thing now. And if
right.
that doesn't send off alarm bells, I don't know what does, Sheriff.
Yeah, that is scary. And that is also, as you allude to, a vital part of this investigation. And come on, somebody needs to get after that. And this thing just keeps getting a bigger and longer rabbit hole the more you look at it. And it's a scary rabbit hole.
The problem is that time is against us because, look, you won't be able to investigate any of this. You tie this to vote fraud, and you know what? You find out that it was all wrong, but we stopped the discussion on vote fraud. We never get to the bottom of that, or we get to the bottom of that too late. We may have the wrong president in office. If President Trump doesn't do something directly to stop this transfer of power, it's going to be too late, sir, no matter what we discover.
Yeah, it already is too late. He's not. There's no way he can do it now. No way. And I still get the emails from people saying he's already got it signed. He's already ready to go. You know, he's already said to everybody he's going to do. He's leaving on the morning of the 20th. He's taking Air Force One. He said that he gave his word that he was going to do a peaceful transfer of power. He's not going to attend the inauguration. You know, for him to do it now, it will make him look like he's rather dishonest. He can't do it now. There's just no way he can do it now. It would be, I would tell the president right now, if you still do this and declare insurrection and declare martial law, if you do it now instead of a month and a half ago, that's going to make you look totally dishonest.
No question about it. So it's a bad scenario, ladies and gentlemen, because by hook or by crook, they got their guy in as president and vice president.
Yeah, they did. They won.
Dishonestly and immorally and criminally, with violence to their credit, they won, maybe. They might win the skirmish, but they certainly will never win the war. The good sheriff with us, ladies and gentlemen.
One thing 2020 has made crystal clear. For liberty lovers, hope lies where it always has, in our own hands. So join us at Liberty Hall on Saturday, January 16th for a preparedness fair. With speakers on topics from health to food growing, prepping supplies, first aid, self-reliance, and more. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, January 16th. Go to lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The timing of this might even get more investigative interest, ladies and gentlemen. Nancy Pelosi called the impeachment of President Trump urgent, but she did not send the charge to the Senate to prompt the start of a trial, nor did she commit when she would do so, Sheriff.
Yeah, I heard that one, Sam. She just wanted to make sure this got on his record. She knew it would go nowhere, pretty much like the last one. They just want to be able to say historically that Trump is the only president in history to ever be impeached twice. And indeed he is, because there's only been three that have ever been impeached. And so, and no convictions ever, but of course, and she knew that. But she just wants to be able to say this president did it, and she knows that she did it dishonestly, and she absolutely knew. I mean, she's probably the biggest liar in the country, and between her and Adam Schiff, I don't know which one is the biggest liar, but it's just astonishing what these people get away with, and they know it, and so it just really doesn't matter to them anymore.
All right, there's a big article in the New York Times that I want to bring to your attention as well. Headline says this: crisis casts a harsh light on a one-mission agency unused to public scrutiny. We're talking about the Capitol Hill Police. And here's what's interesting. The Capitol Hill Police started in like 1801 or 1901. I can't remember which. I'd have to look this up. Let me see here. And I guess it was one guy at first that was set to make sure that Congress could, you know, pass back and forth safely or whatever. Now it's grown to over 2,000 police people. And while that all happens, this, Capitol Agency police or whatever, I guess there's 20 of them now that are either fired or on suspension, et cetera, because there's allegations they were part of and evidence they were part of. So the investigation goes on. This break-in is some kind of an inside job. Even the Democrats are pointing to that, Sheriff.
Yeah, amazingly so. But the Democrats, there's about 30 of them being accused, and it looks like it's being investigated. At least Fox has brought this up, and it was on their bottom line screen this morning, that about 30 senators and congressmen are being investigated for actually the day before taking people around the U.S. Capitol so they knew their way around once they broke in.
Yeah, all right. It was 1801, a single guard designed to help people move, to oversee the move of Congress to Philadelphia to Washington. Now it has over 2,000 cops, and over 20 of them are under investigation right now, Sheriff. That's not good. 20 of them, that's a serious number. Those allegations are real.
Yeah, they are. And obviously the people are going to have to do something about it. But it just gets, like I say, that rabbit hole just gets deeper and deeper, and it's astonishing that isn't making huge news, that people were taking tours the day before who were actually part of the break-in the following day. At least that's the accusation.
Now, Mr. Ryan, who chairs the House committee, says we can't get any information for the Capitol Police.
Why?
Now, they operate under the supposed protective wing of Congress, but Congress can't get information about them. The organization has more than 2,000 police officers. And listen, and a half, what? How big is this budget? A $500 million budget? Yeah, $500 million budget, buddy. Bigger than some other police departments.
Man, and most of the time they're just sitting around.
Atlanta, Detroit, etc. They have smaller budgets than even the Capitol Police. Now, these are the ones that dealt with the Vince Foster thing too, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the plot thickens. You got, a bunch of cops involved, a bunch of cops on suspension. Very concerning indeed. And again, everything points to we need to investigate this all the way from vote fraud all the way to this, but we're just flat out of time. What do you think should happen here, Sheriff? Once Joe's in charge, what, you're not going to get to the bottom of nothing?
No, you're not. And, it should be some sort of independent investigation. Because, one, who trusts the FBI anymore? Maybe the Secret Service, but, it's really difficult to put a lot of trust in any of them. And maybe they should turn it over to the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the guys that have sex parties down in Colombia all the time, so.
No, Sheriff. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. It's just hard to know how to even focus on all this sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. There's just so much corruption. Nancy Pelosi calling the impeachment of President Trump urgent while doing nothing. A French computer programmer sends Bitcoin to right-wing extremists. Left-wing agitator was there. Vote fraud never got really investigated. Trump supposedly an enemy. Crisis casts a harsh light on the agency with 20 police officers under investigation. That's a lot of police officers. People say, there couldn't be a conspiracy, otherwise people would know about it, Sheriff. That's interesting enough to me as well.
Well, Well, it keeps, one layer at a time. It keeps coming to light, and it's pretty hard to hide when you're giving tours the day before.
And that needs to be investigated. The Democrats are even claiming that. Yeah. Now, the other thing interesting is a security fence goes up around the same Congress. They're locking it right on down now in preparation for the, quote, I don't know if I dare call it an inauguration, but the Trump, flying to Florida and the Biden takeover, there's a security fence going up around the same Congress that rejected a fence on the border last year, Sheriff.
Yeah, and I would have told them to never put something up like that, and they're not going to need it. I don't even think Washington, D.C. is going to need anything like that. Who's going to protest? It's not going to be the Trump supporters, and that's really where they seem to be aiming it. Or are all the leftist BLM Antifas and other people going to go burn the streets down and riot throughout the entire city because they're so happy that Trump is gone and that Biden is in? Nobody really cares about Biden or Kamala Harris. And I look at her going around and waving at the crowds and stuff, the very sparse crowds that they are. Like, look at me. I'm really amazing, and we just did this thing. She couldn't even get 7% running, and then now she's acting like everybody in the country wanted her. The only person that wanted her was the guy that she said was a sexual pervert. Why he wanted her and why he wanted that on his legacy of his vice president accusing him of that a year and a half ago? Astonishing. But these people are just such actors and players she'll probably be president now. Rather soon.
There you have it. Very, very strange stuff. Now, while the security fence goes up around the same Congress that rejected one at the border saying walls don't work, that's very interesting. But Trump went to the border last Tuesday to celebrate what he calls 400 miles of fence.
Yeah, and that also appears to be doing some good. If you talk to the sheriffs and other officials along that area, they said it's definitely doing some good.
Well,
probably just Republican politicians.
I don't know how to respond to that, except to say this. Don Lemon's saying everyone who voted for Trump sided with the Klan, the Nazis, and the rioters. That's what CNN openly saying through Don Lemon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's hard to handle that.
Yeah, he also came out and supported the violence in Portland.
Now, a U.S. Border Patrol agent came out just yesterday and said, hey, on Sunday we arrested a convicted murderer and a sex offender who were trying to illegally cross the border. Now listen carefully. He said we continue to encounter dangerous criminals who try to breach our borders and enter our country illegally. This is Del Rio Sector Chief Patrol Agent Austin L. Sciro who said this. This is interesting because that's what Trump was saying, and everybody mocked him back at the time. Now we got a border agent standing up. He should have stood up with Trump when it was actually a hot topic. But nevertheless, the truth comes out right at the end, Sheriff.
Yeah, a lot of it looks like it's coming out too late, and that's probably intentional. But, I don't know if Stuart Rhodes' letter ever got to the president. I would think because of the attention that it received by some media outlets that he did, but you and I have tried to get a hold of him before, and it just doesn't seem possible to get to him.
But the only people that can get a hold of him are the swamp monsters.
If he was going to do it, he should have done it weeks ago.
By the way, it's Martin Luther King weekend, and they say that his message of nonviolence is more urgent than ever, Sheriff, but I say, hey, you know what, Trump? Shout out to Trump. Why don't you declassify all the Martin Luther King docs now? Let's get the truth on this character.
Yeah.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
Joe Biden planning to launch a $20 billion COVID vaccine program. The president-elect announcing a plan yesterday to get 100 million people vaccinated in his first 100 days.
I'm convinced the American people are ready to spare no effort and no expense to get this done. All these steps will take some time. It may take many months to get where we need to be. There will be stumbles. And yes, I know so much has already been asked of you. And when we're sworn in next week, we're going to ask you to keep the faith and keep following what we know works.
The vaccine program, part of Biden's $2 trillion economic relief package. It calls for raising unemployment benefits from $300 a week to $400 a week through September. He also calls for a $15 an hour minimum wage, more than doubling the current federal minimum wage. Also, he wants a $1,400 stimulus check for each taxpayer. This is USA Radio News.
Yes, sir. You hear that? That is the sound.
No, that is the sound of the wrecker. That is the sound of the tow truck.
That is the sound of your car stuck in the snow and the tow truck is on its
way. You know what the tow truck is coming for? The tow truck
is coming for your wallet.
That's what it's coming for. I know.
That's what it's coming for. Listen, this is Billy Gerard here, Rockstar Radio.
And I have the solution.
It is called Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. TrackGrabber.com. Winter is coming. Do not let this sound be you. Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. Get these. They are inexpensive. They will save you a fortune in the long run, and they will save you from getting stuck. Go to TrackGrabber.com. Log on. Get yourself a pair. Get a pair for the family. They're easy to install, and they will get you out of the mud, the snow, the sand. They will save you from the wrecker bills. Oh, my goodness. They will pay for themselves the first time you use them.
TrackGrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR saves 25%. That's TrackGrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling for an investigation into the security lapses around the Capitol Hill violence. This comes amidst threats of more violence leading up to Inauguration Day.
I find this to be a very emotional time. I said to the members, we're very passionate to our reaction to this assault on our democracy, on this temple to democracy.
Pelosi also says some members of Congress could face consequences for their alleged roles in the riot. House Democrats calling for more info on tours of the Capitol led by fellow lawmakers the day before the violent protest. A New Jersey congresswoman says some people seen storming the Capitol were spotted in those small tours, which she compared to a reconnaissance mission. The NRA files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The gun rights group based in New York saying yesterday they're also going to become a Texas-based nonprofit. The organization says this move will enable them to continue to be the nation's leading advocate for constitutional freedom, free from the toxic political environment of New York. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Good news. I was thinking the sheriff had to take off at 7:30, but it's 8:30, so he can be with us a lot longer. Great news, because I got a lot of things to cover with him. I'll tell you that right now. We're talking about all kind of things going on, ladies and gentlemen. In America, you got left-wing non-agitators at the Capitol. The mainstream press lied and almost tried to pretend they didn't exist, but investigations and reality and evidence proves to the contrary. You got a French computer programmer that gave a ton of money to right-wing groups, they say. But how about left-wing groups? How do we know out of the 20-plus addresses that it was all right-wing people? And did anybody give money to the left-wing people that were there? You know, you get all kinds of questions, but they already told you. Oh, no, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Nobody was there. Just the Trump whacked out extreme crazy supporters that are militia that are going to kill everybody. Turns out to be not even close to the reality. The fake news is just imminent everywhere. But investigations seem to be the wheels of justice grind so slow, I question if they even grind these days. Nevertheless, Nancy Pelosi called the impeachment urgent, but yet she's not even sending over the article, the single article of impeachment, to the Senate. So it must not be too urgent, except for to get on record to try to cement Trump's legacy as a negative one. Crisis casts a harsh light on the one organization, the Capitol Police, because they're not used to scrutiny, they claim. But you know what? 2,000 police officers. Here's how government grows. Since 1801, they had one cop, one guy there that they said, hey, this is just kind of a guard to make sure we can go from Philadelphia to D.C. safely or whatever. One guard to do a temporary mission turns into 2,000 cops. In a secret agency with a train of failures at its feet, from Vince Foster right on down to all kinds of other shootings. I remember the girl that got lost in her car and somehow pulled into the wrong place and the cops had a heyday with her, the Capitol Police. So they got all kinds of misery and confusion. Now they've got 20 cops out of 2,000 at least, maybe more, involved somehow in this right-wing only event. You know, you got to start to really dig and go, what the heck? But now security fence goes up around the same Congress that rejected one of the border last year. That's interesting to say the least. Walls don't work except for when it's their people, right? Now the annual March for Life has been canceled in person this year, and the president says it's only partly due to the COCO, Sheriff.
Yeah. And like I say, that rabbit hole just keeps on going and going and going. And, you know, even your bottom of the hour news talked about the reconnaissance. A Democrat calls it that, reconnaissance inside the U.S. Capitol with the next day rioters. That really needs to be pursued 100%. But you got to look at the state, the U.S. Capitol Police. First of all, I'm astonished that they have 2,000 people on board. 2,000 cops at the Capitol? Then where were they when this thing went down?
That's a hard question to answer there, sir. They were kind of on vacation.
Yeah, and then this has been made a big deal, and I'm not so certain that it is, because there's a time in law enforcement that you would do this. But when they open the fences and let people in, I doubt very seriously if you'll see that they actually told them, come in this door over here. And if they did, then that makes that shooting of, and that, what's the lady's name? I really wanted to get her name. I was looking it up during the break and I never did find it.
Yeah, I'll try to look it up.
Yeah, but, okay.
Keep going. I'll find it.
Okay. But anyway, the police would have at a certain point said, yes, this crowd is getting crazy. They're going to trample us. They're going to run over us. We either have to shoot or let them have their way. And so there would be a time you would say, okay, move the fence before we get hurt. You know, what's the worst they're going to do? You know, usually police do not have that kind of sensitivity about evaluating a situation. They usually just use a bunch of force. Well, they didn't, except for one guy killing
Ashley Babbitt, by the way.
Babbitt, yes. Ashley Babbitt. And her first name's Ashley?
Seemed correct.
Like it seemed like it was.
I'm telling you, it's Ashley Babbitt. 35 years old.
Yep. And 13 years a veteran, I think, of the Air Force. And, you know, it already had an interview with her husband.
By the way, it was a plainclothes police officer, too, which I find interesting.
Huh.
Why?
Well, yeah, there were. There were several plainclothes officers that were dressed up in suits, just like they looked like Secret Service. And they were pointing guns at people just looking in a window. It looked like it was overkill and that you need seven guys pointing a gun at a small window with about two or three people looking in. That looked kind of funny to me, too, from a law enforcement perspective. I don't believe you can go to looking at videos of cops taking the fence or opening the fence for people to go through and say, oh yeah, see, they're part of it. That's a conclusion that you can't draw at all until you do your investigation. So as you pointed out, things aren't always as they seem.
Well, and hold on a minute. Let's stop and explain a little bit why that is, because you would say, wait a minute, if they're letting people in, how can that not be evident? Because oftentimes they have ways of dividing people, separating people in an effort to keep the order and keep the police. I don't know everything about it, but what I'm telling you is it isn't always we're letting people in. It sometimes has to do with, you know what, we're going to separate people. We're going to, you know, put groups of people in certain places so that less of a number of police officers can handle a greater number of people. That doesn't necessarily mean they agreed or participated at all.
Right, exactly.
Is that the right summary to draw?
Yeah, that's it. Or just like I said at the beginning, it could have been a safety measure. This is going to be safer for everybody if we let this crowd dissipate. Yeah, so to keep all of them right there at a bottleneck and then have them barge in and run over people and trample people, big, huge difference. And so it could have been actually that they didn't want to have to use any lethal force against them, and they knew they would really be creating a monster if they did that. So I think they were showing some thoughtful discretion.
In other words, hey, you know what, guys? Let's just spread out here for a second.
Yeah.
Let's get people in different spots, different places, so everybody's not together, and then we'll try to handle it and deal with it from there.
Right.
I think that's a wise call, and again, I believe that the majority of the police force probably was not involved. Okay, I don't believe that somebody in a smoky secret room went to all 2,000 cops, we're going to create an intentional crisis here, no way. Most of the cops are good people. They weren't told, they were doing their best. They weren't in charge, and so they weren't in the leadership, and they didn't know exactly what plans. They knew their assignment, kind of an as-need-to-know basis. And there was a few cops who, either with leadership or without, I don't know yet, without investigations, but the very few were in on it. I mean, 20 out of 2,000 so far is what we're talking about that we even know of. Might have been a little bit more than that. Might have been a few leadership key people. The fact that there was a debate about even calling in the National Guard, which means a lot of people believe they had the National Guard in waiting for this, but there was a battle on if they were going to even bring them in. So most people were under the false assumption that, hey, they are prepared and we got this covered. We find out they weren't. There was only a few people that shut down the preparedness as well. That's something to note. So these conspiracies aren't as big as people think, but they do exist as the proof.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think this Babbitt lady was a humble, very nice person, obviously not armed, served her country for 13 years, a good husband, a husband that loved her. Should she have gone in? No, she should not have. Did she commit a crime? Probably. Was the shooting justified? We haven't investigated that yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say absolutely not. If that one was justified, of the film that I saw when she got shot, they should have shot at least another 250 people. So it's either justified or it's not, and I will compliment the other police for not joining the party, because I'm telling you, I've looked at too many police shootings and have determined that usually when one starts shooting, they all start shooting, or at least others do.
Yeah.
And that happened for Jose Garena when he was murdered by the Pima SWAT team, Pima County SWAT team. There was just one shooting, then there was three, then they were joining in. It's like, oh, I got to join the chorus here. And then one guy that was like 30 feet away from the door where they were shooting runs over there and starts shooting. And that's just a mentality that, wow.
It's a mentality that's simply got to stop, and part of the problem why people are even at odds with the police in America, which they shouldn't be. What we need is greater training. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, is prime for that training too, ladies and gentlemen. Will Joe call on them? Doubt it.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, the good Sheriff Richard Mack, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Become a lifetime member. I am one. They were poised to set up training. They could set up training for the Capitol Police and any police or sheriff's departments or anybody else across the country. De-escalation tactics, constitutional oaths of office, and a whole lot more, Sheriff.
Yeah, for sure. And we've got one coming up in Sheriff Songer's helping me put one together on the 22nd. So I leave this coming week to go to Washington. And then another group are trying to get me to just stop by Lake Tahoe on the way home from that one. So that might come. And then the 29th of this month, you and I will be in Minnesota with Larita.
Yes, we will, ladies and gentlemen, live from her restaurant. It's going to be a phenomenal time, public opportunity to meet Richard Mack in person, shake his hand. Sam, myself, and the good sheriff will be speaking. Sheriff will be talking in detail about really how the checks and balances work in America is the best way I have to describe it. Relating to really election fraud or anything else, the dual sovereignties, the fact that state folks and county folks and people not at the federal level don't have to just lockstep obey federal government mandates, orders, dictates, and the like. The proof is of the pudding all the way to the Supreme Court where Bill Clinton lost and the good sheriff won. So we'll be talking about that some, Sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key to all of this because it was a victory against government overreach. And we want to use that same principle, whether it happens at the federal level, state level, or local level. We must stand against tyranny at all levels. And this is a point, Sam, to make about that right now, and it's a simple one. The police in this country have a decision to make. They can be like Thomas Paine described during and right at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, where he said, Britain with an army to enforce her tyranny. So I ask today's police, there's about a million of you in our country, are you the army that is enforcing the tyranny going on today? You have a choice. You can support the tyranny and go and blindly go along with your self-appointed dictators, your governors and mayors, or you can stand for liberty. That's it. Which one should you be choosing? And how difficult is that to see, Sam? That, oh, yeah, I should be standing for liberty. Oh, no, I have a moral high ground to enforce whatever the governor tells me to do. And there's actually some sheriffs and chiefs of police who are doing exactly that. Astonishing. Cannot believe it. But they are doing that. You either choose tyranny or you choose liberty. I hope and pray you choose the latter.
Amen, ladies and gentlemen. A very important point. And again, a lot of people like to beat us up, and they like to lie and say we think that the sheriff is above the law, or the sheriff has more power than anybody else in the country. Everybody answers to the sheriff. See, we don't claim that at all. What we claim is there's jurisdictional boundaries. There's checks and balances in America, vertically and horizontally. And the sheriff, because he's elected and he's closest to the people, has more power than the average sheriff believes he has. And true education about his oath of office, his elected status, and his role in these checks and balances needs to be articulated effectively. And so those who lie and say we think the sheriff is a godlike figure, they're up in the night, whacked out, crazy, they misrepresent us, and they need to stop. Those who understand, though, the proper role of a constitutional sheriff realize that there are vertical and horizontal checks and balances, realize that the sheriff does have quite a bit of authority. It's not absolute by any stretch of the imagination, but it is much more significant than people realize. And if you don't believe me, Bill Clinton said, "Sheriff, shut up, sit down, I'll arrest you." And the sheriff said, "Oh, no, you don't." They went to the Supreme Court and the sheriff prevailed. Need I say more, sir?
No, that's a great review. Thank you.
Anyway, I thought that would be worth articulating, and maybe we got to get this little soundbite from my talk show, and whenever the thugs lie, we can just play that back and put it in proper perspective. Very few people could articulate where a sheriff really is positioned in this country, but it isn't by accident. It's by historical reality and necessity, and it isn't a dictatorial position by the sheriff either. We believe in rejecting tyranny everywhere. But there are checks and balances, and the sheriff does have tremendous authority. It just needs to be understood and used properly while keeping one's oath of office to the people who elected him. Isn't that the key?
That is key, and it's a simple one. It's an equation. We, the people, are in charge. We appoint dash elect our sheriff. We review his or her job every 4 years, and then we are in charge. That's what makes us a republic. And still we hear all these Nancy Pelosi's. Could you believe it? Nancy Pelosi actually said we're here to make sure people are honoring their oaths of office, and we're protecting the Constitution. She's protecting now. You already alluded to this. She's protecting the Constitution by impeaching Trump, but by not sending the article of impeachment over to the Senate. Then she knows it cannot be done. So she's admitting she's violating the Constitution while she's lying to everybody saying that she's actually defending the Constitution doing this. What? I mean, good grief.
Yes, amen. I want to also dispel another rumor, though. You know, they always say that the CSPOA is a militia organization or tied into the militia or look, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association has never been a militia group
or associated with,
is not even associated with militia groups.
No. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit the word militia is mentioned in the Constitution four times, including in the Second Amendment, in Article 1, Section 8, another two or three times. And I have nothing against most militias if they're out committing crimes and arrest them all.
Anybody committing crimes, arrest them.
Yeah, but it's not our deal. We've never gone there where we support nonviolence, like you say in your show every day. We do not support revolution. We support peaceful restoration. And that's what we are about. Could there be a time where violence would be legitimate in having another revolutionary war or another civil war? It could happen, and I'm trying to do everything we can in coalescing with the sheriffs of this country and working with them to make sure that it stays peaceful. Our movement and what we're doing to restore our Constitution. I hope and pray that our efforts are blessed and that they are successful. But we are supporting nonviolent restoration.
Remember, it's about the Constitution and the supreme law of the land, which is law and order, which does have checks and balances. And it's about the proper authority. So we do talk about sheriff's posses. We do talk about people who have been deputized by sheriffs. And when you really read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment basically talks about a well-regulated militia. A lot of times that has to do with the proper role of government organizing with these people, giving them legitimate authority on loan, sometimes permanent, sometimes temporary, depending on the situation. But it is about the people working with the proper role of government, oftentimes through the sheriff. And there's a big difference in modern day manipulation of the word militia to what we're speaking of. The modern day militia is just a bunch of renegades running around with guns saying my gun's bigger than your gun. And hey, I have authority because I say so and I'm the people. What you don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that the people don't have unlimited authority on their own. Okay, by the consent are we governed. Okay, and so there's a check and balance. We consent, and then we got to coordinate with government officials. Only in complete wartime, when the breakdown of government entirely occurs, then it might be different assemblies for, you know, committees of safety and some of those other kind of things. But in the meantime, a proper role would be for a group of people in conjunction with their sheriff, the elected official, coordinating for the security of their area or their jurisdiction or county, whatever state, it depends on the level we're talking about, in conjunction with proper elected authority. That's really where the power comes from. And what they want to do is act like we're just vigilantes and we support that type of action. We don't. The two aren't the same. And let's educate and get used to it as soon as possible, because that's what the National Guard is to some degree, a similar kind of an idea. Same with then a sheriff's posse. Again, it's a different jurisdictional reality, but the point's the same.
Right.
We don't have standing armies in America. We don't believe in them. I know we've got one, but we're not supposed to for longer than a certain term. Go look it up. But I digress, except to say that these things can be legitimate if done properly. And a lot of the problems out there are because people don't understand it, or a lot of groups take authority when they have none. And those are the problems, Sheriff.
Yeah, it is. And we're just hoping to keep this legitimate and focused on our goals, and we're really a Paul Revere organization. We're just trying to wake people up to what's really going on and to who the real enemy is and how we address the destruction of America and then how we get it back. And there's no question that the Democrats and Republicans have become very destructive of these ends, to quote the Declaration of Independence. So now they
and there's no doubt that we need to erect barriers based on the rule of law and the checks and balances so beautifully articulated in our supreme law.
Right. And so the focus that you're putting right now on the checks and balances is exactly all this is about. And the states have an obligation to be part of that per the 10th Amendment. And the states have acquiesced and gone along with the federal takeover of power in this country, and we're kind of trying to reverse that.
And when we say reverse that, what we mean is we're trying to create the checks and balances that truly denote the jurisdictional realities, the checks and balances, the proper role, the elected official status, the oath of office. There's all kinds of terms that come into play when we discuss these complicated topics. But make no mistake, we don't believe the sheriff is a king. That would be just another form of tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. How dumb is that? We're not suggesting that at all. What we are suggesting, though, is training can happen, understanding of one's oath can occur, a dedication to the supreme law of the land can be achieved, and our efforts to help sheriffs and the people that elect them to understand these jurisdictional boundaries, to understand the proper role, and to insist that it's carried out via their oaths of office is critical. That's what we're talking about. Man, is it sure hard to educate, though, when they've created modern terms of division, modern terms of escalation. We're all about de-escalation. We're all about peace. We're all about saying, wait a minute, hold on now. The sheriff and the people are friends, not enemies. Hold on now. There are proper roles to go about this. Hold on now. The people can support the sheriff and keep peace in their jurisdiction. Hold on now. Clinton's not right. Wait a minute. We have the right to keep and bear arms, but that doesn't mean we're violent or criminal. Wow, folks, there's a lot to talk about and a lot to educate on. The best way to get involved and learn more about it and help with the educational solutions is get involved with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'm a lifetime member. You should become one as well. CSPOA.org. The good sheriff's with me next hour as well. God save the Republic. That's peaceful, ain't it?